The Inside Aperture podcast introduces you to the experts who use Apple's professional image management application to organize, edit, and output their pictures. Each show features tips and techniques that will help you improve the quality of your photography and bring efficiency to your workflow.
Hi, this is Derek Story with O'Reilly Media, and I'm sitting down with Joe Shore today, Senior Product Manager for Apple. And Joe, we've got some metadata stuff to talk about today for Aperture.
Yes, everybody's favorite topic when it comes to photography, metadata. But you know what? It's really important stuff, and it really makes your photos more searchable, more findable. We're finding as people's libraries get bigger and bigger, actually taking advantage of all this metadata becomes pretty important.
What we're going to do is we're going to make metadata very appealing today, because the stuff that we have to talk about may just push people right over the top and go, you know what, I really like this metadata stuff. And I'll tell you, there's no sexier place to start than talking about lenses. And we have some good news in the lens metadata world, don't we, for Aperture 2.1?
Absolutely. I think this is an example of where metadata can really become very useful, actually help you become a better photographer. So one of the pieces of information that's stored in digital files is the actual lens model that was used when you took the photo. Now, not every camera manufacturer writes out a raw file putting this information in or putting it in the same place. So it's a little bit of an extra task for us to pull it out. But that was one of the things that we tackled with version 2. This isn't standard EXIF data. So it's a bit more on the proprietary side. But we've included that with our sort of our dump of EXIF data that you see when you look at the metadata in Aperture. And by lens model, I don't mean just the focal length. That's always been reported. But this is, you know, the brand, the model, the specific lens that was used. That little string is in there. And if it's there, we can pull it out. And so what that means now is that when you look in the general metadata panel in Aperture, you can see that there is, in fact, a data field called lens model. And you can now view any of your photos and see exactly which lens did I use. And, you know, by searching and sorting through using this data, you can now determine, you know, which shots you like better using a particular lens. How do two of them compare? You start noticing, like, wow, every time I use that one, I'm getting a much better result. So it's actually a pretty useful tool.
What's interesting about it is that you can distinguish, for instance, if you have the 70 to, I'm talking Canon right now because of the lenses I use. So if you have the 70 to 200 f4 and you have the 70 to 200 f2.8 and you're wondering, okay, now which shot did I nab this with? Right? I mean, let's say you shot it at f5.6, so you're not going to be able to go by that. This lens model field, at least for the Canon lenses, will tell you which of those lenses you used. So if you have duplication, you can even figure out which lens you shot it with.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So this is really valuable info. Now, I wanted to make sure everyone knows kind of where to look to find this. So in your metadata panel, you will see this by default in the general metadata set, and that's the one that we show by default. If for some reason you've changed that metadata set around or you're using other ones, I wanted to make sure everyone knew how to expose this lens model info. So what you can do is at the bottom of your metadata inspector, there's that little EXIF button at the very, very bottom of the screen. And if you pop that up, it shows you all the possible metadata fields that you can be showing that are EXIF fields. And one of them in that list is lens model. If it's not turned on, that is, if it doesn't have a checkbox next to it, just put a checkbox next to it, and then it will then appear in that list. And what this means, of course, is that you can customize your metadata sets, what we call metadata views, so that lens model can appear anywhere. So I can have lens model overlaid on each image in the viewer if I want to. I can add that to my tooltips, my little tooltip help, so that when I point to an image and hit the letter T, the little panel of metadata that pops up there can include the exact lens. So you can use this anywhere. It means I can print out contact sheets that include lens model or put that on my web pages that I create using Aperture. So there's lots of places you can use this information once it's there. Now, the other important thing to remember here is Aperture scans for this metadata when you import your images. So every image that you import now with Aperture 2 and beyond is going to have that lens model information reported. What do you do about the 10,000 photos that you imported before we had Aperture 2 for you? Well, in order to get that information, we actually have to tell Aperture, hey, go back to these master images. There's another piece of information in there that we didn't report before, but now we can. So the way you want to do that is you want to either select a whole project or you can select individual images and do this. And then when you go to the metadata menu, there's actually a command called update EXIF from master. And a lot of people have been looking at that and saying, what's that for? Well, that's basically telling Aperture to go reread that master file, scan all the metadata all over again in case there's something in there that we didn't get when we imported the image. And that something happens to be this lens model info. So this is the way you do that. If you go to your lens model field after listening to this podcast and you go, well, this isn't showing anything from my photos, you probably need to select them and then say update EXIF from master. It will rescan. And then you'll get that lens model info in there.
So that's the thing though, that you have to do, though. You do have to select the files before you use this command, because otherwise Aperture, I mean, it's not going to go and update the masters for your whole library. You have to tell it which photos you want to do.
Exactly. It's not going to just happen by itself. This is only true now, again, if you have images that were already imported before you switched over to Aperture 2. Anything that you bring in new in Aperture 2 automatically gets this.
I've got an interesting idea here, because I know that in the new search query that lens model is one of the fields that we can search by. Could we use that to find all the shots that haven't, that need to be updated? And then, you know, then all we got to do is select those and update them.
Yes, you can do that. That's actually a really good idea. So when you open up the query HUD, what you would do is you'd go to the little plus menu, because you have to pop that open and choose EXIF. So that's going to give you the choice of all the different EXIF fields. It's a big, long list. Now you can choose lens model. That will be there now, starting with version 2. And what you want to search for is, right next to lens model, there's another pop-up menu that lets you define the search, like includes, starts with, etc. Well, one of those that we gave you is empty. So you can now do a search across your whole library that says lens model is empty, and that will now give you every image where this was not filled in. You can then select those right after you've done this search, go to the metadata menu, choose update EXIF from master, and it will fill them in. So you'll have all of that done in one shot.
So, so now we're in the Query HUD. The Query HUD is a lot of fun these days. I think it's improved a lot. There's a few things that maybe we need to talk about there. I want to make sure we talk about the stacks, because the query and stacks now, that relationship has changed a little bit.
Yeah, this is actually one of the most significant changes that we made, I think, when it comes to searching for your photos, if you use stacks. And keep in mind that when you make multiple versions of an image, those may be put in a stack for you. So you may be using stacks even if you don't realize it. It used to be in the old days of Aperture 1 that the queries, the searches that you did across the database, only looked at stack picks. And the assumption was all of that other stuff, those are alternates, so it doesn't include those. Smart albums allowed you to look inside stacks, but queries did not. Well, we changed that because obviously it's much more powerful if I can keep things stacked however I want and know that when I search, I find anything. So I don't have to have everything be a stack pick in order to search for it. So the queries that you do now look through your entire library. Doesn't matter if it's a stack pick or an alternate. That means that even if I have stacks of multiple versions and I have, say, 5-star images buried inside of a stack, when I search for my 5-star images, I get all the 5-star images. And that's why in the results, when you query, sometimes people will see something where it says like 2 of 5 on the little badge that tells you that it's a stack. It's because 2 matched out of the 5 that make up the stack. Now, if you do want to restrict things to the stack pick, in other words, if you want to use it the way version 1 worked, because the only images you care about in this particular project are your picks, then there is a new checkbox in the Query HUD that says include stack picks only. So it's the best of both worlds. You can use this either way.
Right. So the behavioral changes now, by default, it'll search into everything. You don't have to use just smart albums to look into stacks anymore. But if you do, if you like the old way, or if you're working on a particular project the old way, then you just got to remember to check that box. And then you're just searching your picks, which is also kind of cool. Anything else?
We added far more options for how you can narrow down a search. So right at the very top of the Query HUD, you'll notice that it now allows you to include any or all of the images that match or do not match. So you can do negative searches. If you work with keywords and you go into the keyword section where you can actually check off each of the keywords you want to search for, you'll notice there's a whole set of new options in there. So you can look for images, for example, that don't include a particular combination of keywords. And you can do that in combination with other criteria. So these can get very specific. I can say, you know, I want to look at all of the images which either have this or this, not this. And that makes for a much more powerful search engine.
And we were talking also about people that have really large libraries that, you know, what a lot of us do, and what I must admit I still do, is that I usually just do the query search on all photos. But now if we kind of know that it's in a certain type of project or might be in this project or that project, but you don't remember quite sure, you can narrow that down a little bit and speed up the search a bit, can't you?
Yes, that's one of the new pieces of information that you can use as the basis for search. If you, again, go to that little plus menu and choose other, that's other kinds of metadata. One of those other metadata fields is project, meaning the project name. So I can actually construct a search now that says, you know, show me images that have this rating or that have this keyword and also have one of these project names. So it allows you to just narrow down that much more quickly. And, you know, keep in mind that with Aperture 2, we have customers building really large libraries. I mean, we have photographers, you know, blasting way off into the hundreds of thousands in a single Aperture library, and that's okay. It's designed to handle that. But, of course, the queries are always going to be faster when you can narrow down as quickly as possible to get to the specific images you're looking for.
Now, there was just one other thing that I wanted to touch on, and this is kind of fun. So we're finding that more and more clients actually want raw files from photographers. And so as long as, you know, as if the agreement states so and so forth, photographers want to hand those off when appropriate. But now there's a way that we can really attach metadata to those raw files so we don't have to deal with sidecar files anymore. And so that's all one nice, neat package, right?
Yes, and it's easy to miss this in Aperture 2 because it's just tucked into one pop-up menu when you export your images, but it's really important and really powerful. So, you know, we've created all these tools for adding metadata, and people want their metadata to live on sort of everywhere. And of course, we always have given you the option of embedding that metadata in your TIFFs and JPEGs and so on. Starting with version 1.5, we gave you the option of exporting that metadata along with your master images as a sidecar file, so at least nothing was lost. But we've taken that even one step further with version 2, where you can actually include, meaning you can embed the metadata that you add to your photos, the captions, your copyright information, keywords, gets written into an exported master image, meaning you can hand off a raw file like a .NEF file from a Nikon or a .CR2 file, knowing that wherever those images go, that raw file has your metadata, say your copyright information, the URL to your website is in there. And so the key there is when you go to export and you say export masters, because you're interested in getting to the raw files here, under the metadata menu, there's a pop-up menu in the resulting dialog box. And your choices are to not include IPTC, meaning we won't do anything, or make a sidecar file. And then there's this new option, include IPTC. And, you know, that has become really important for some of the photographers that we were working with who are in an editorial workflow, for example. And what they turn in, what they provide for their photo editors, they may give them a JPEG showing how they want the image to ultimately be rendered, but they need to hand over that raw file as well. And often the editorial staff wants all of that information embedded so that it doesn't get lost. Well, that's now an Aperture workflow.
Well, sure, because the person that you're handing it off to, their workflow may be reading off key metadata in order for them to organize the images, such as the photographer's name, what the project is, all that kind of stuff. So it makes perfect sense that they would want that in the file. Now, does this work the same way a regular export would work of a JPEG or whatever, in that Aperture is reading the raw file and then adding the metadata you've added and then basically generating a new file? Is that how that works?
Right. So this feature is designed to work with export. So we are not going back into your original master file and monkeying with the metadata in that. We're treating that as a negative so that we don't touch it, basically, when it comes to this IPTC information. When we generate a new master image on export, we're writing the data into that. So again, your original remains untouched. The thing that you export is a master file. It in every way resembles the original, but it has this additional metadata that's been embedded. This makes all of the information really, really portable.
I love all that stuff. I'm really excited about the lens model, and I'm going to get my library updated. Thanks for those tips.
Sure thing. Thanks, Derek.
The Inside Aperture podcast is produced by O'Reilly Media. To learn more about Aperture, be sure to visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aperture for articles, tutorials, blogs, and podcasts. This show is produced on a Mac using Soundtrack Pro. See you next time.